Dear Father, we want to thank you as we come now to your word, that we have the opportunity for you to speak to us. And we do want to pray that you will help our focus, help our attention to be on yourself. Lord, you see our hearts, you weigh our hearts, you consider our hearts. And Lord, we just want to pray that through the reading of your word and the preaching and teaching of it, that in your mercy you would speak to us and impart something that would bring about a change, divinely inspired change, for our blessing and for your glory. Amen. The second book of Kings, chapter 6, reading from the beginning. Now the sons of the prophets said to Elisha, "Behold now, the place before you where we are living is too limited for us. Please let us go to the Jordan, and each of us take from there a beam, and let us make a place there for ourselves where we may live." So he said, "Go." Then one said, "Please be willing to go with your servants." And he answered, "I shall go." So he went with them, and when they came to the Jordan, they cut down trees. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried out and said, "Alas, my master, for it was borrowed." Then the man of God said, "Where did it fall?" And when he showed him the place, he cut off a stick and threw it in there and made the iron float. He said, "Take it up for yourself." So he put out his hand and took it. Please sit down. During the Young Adults weekend, we have been looking at some of the incidents in the life and ministry of Elisha the prophet. And I've been looking at this under the heading of what's missing, looking at various things that were absent, various things that were needed. And I felt this morning, I'm not going to cover any of that for the sake of you who weren't there. We're going to focus on this short extract, which is absolutely packed with instruction, with challenge, and with direction for us, under the heading, if you like, of recovery of what is lost. You see, for some of us, what's missing from our lives is actually something that we may used to have, and it's now no longer there. It's gone missing. We've lost it. The question is, what has gone missing? And secondly, how do you recover what has been lost? And this chapter, these seven verses, give us all the instruction, or as much of the instruction that we need for that. So let's begin from verse 1, and we're going to go through it quite slowly. It begins with these sons of the prophets, who were trainee prophets, if you like, and as we did share at the Young Adults weekend, if you look at chapter 2, they stayed at various places: Gilgal, Bethel, Jericho. And there they stayed, quite content with their lives and their ministries, but they weren't prepared to go on with the Lord. And one of the things that we were looking at was this determination that Elisha had when he said to Elijah, as the Lord your God lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. And this was in response to Elisha, who knew that Elisha was going to come and be the prophet in his stead to the nation of Israel. This was in response to Elijah putting him off and saying, "You stay here. There's no need for you to move on." And Elisha at every turn was determined to move on, and to come to that place where God could anoint him and equip him for the ministry that he had. Now, that was one of the things that I think is certainly missing from the lives of many of us, is that wholehearted determination to follow the Lord, come what may. And it may well mean that we have to be prepared to go it alone. Elisha had to be willing to leave all his friends at the sons of the prophet, so-called, at these various places. Well, I mustn't get distracted or we will never move on. So these, that's just to explain who the sons of the prophets were as well. So these sons of the prophets said to Elisha, "Behold now, the place before you where we are living is too limited for us." There is a discernment, first of all, that actually where they are, the place where they're living, is too narrow, it's too restricted, it's too limited. There are three possible applications of this, I suggest to you. It may be for you as a family, maybe physically, it may be for a church, maybe, who knows, for us. That the place where we are is too restricted. There's no room for a growth. There's no room for expansion. Secondly, it may be situationally at work, or perhaps again in the home, where you are in a situation where your work, for example, is confining you. It's limiting you. You feel as a person, and what is far more important, you feel from the Lord that actually you need to be in a larger place. You need to be in a different place where you will grow. Some of you, maybe the younger ones among you, are feeling like that at home. You are living with mum and dad and you are feeling, I can't wait to leave home. You wouldn't express it quite like that, but you are longing for your freedom. Well, in a sense, that is an understandable desire. Now, the question is, what are you going to do about it? Perhaps I should say the third thing, first of all, before we move on to that. Spiritually, there is a really important application here on the matter of discernment. Are you discerning the fact that actually the place where you have come to in your relationship to God is actually limiting you? And for some of you, you will say, actually, I'm quite happy, thanks very much. But if you want to go on with the Lord, sometimes in your life, you will come to a place where you actually become aware that actually you need to grow. You need a different place. You need to move on. And you need to discern that. Well, what are you going to do about it? Well, these sons of the prophets said to Elisha. Now, Elisha represents God to the people because he is the prophet to Israel at that time. And, of course, his name means Jehovah saves, Yah saves, Elisha. Looking forward, of course, to the Lord Jesus. Well, what did they do? So they turn to him. They don't just sit there and moan. There is a discontent that they have, but they don't just sit and moan or lick their wounds or get depressed or feel sorry for themselves. No, they go to Elisha. And in all of the situations that I've been outlining to you, possible applications, and there may be more, who knows, you need to go to the Lord and you need to say to him, Lord, I'm feeling restricted. Lord, I want to go on with you. I feel as if I feel I need a change of circumstances that will bring me into a new place with you. Lord, the building where we're meeting is a bit restricted now. The home where we're living, Lord, we need a bigger house. Whatever it is. But above all, spiritually is how I want to apply it to you. In your relationship to the Lord, go to the Lord and say, Lord, I want growth. I want expansion. I want an enlargement. That is, if you do. And I really trust that you do. And so in verse 2, Elisha, in response to their question, please let us go to the Jordan and each one of us take us there a beam and let us make a place for ourselves where we may live. I'll come on to that in a minute. And he says, go. And you need to wait for the word of the Lord to say go. And if God is not speaking to you, then ask him to show you why. Why is he not answering your question or your desire? There may be things that you have to understand in the situation that you are in. It may well be that the Lord says, actually, I want you to stay put where you are. There's a little bit more I've got to teach you. There's nothing wrong with the desire, but don't let the desire precipitate a reaction from you that makes you flee the nest, for example, prematurely and too quickly. We need to do things in the Lord's time. Hear from the Lord if he is saying go or not. And if he's not saying go, why not? And if he's not speaking to you at all, then you really need help. And ask the Lord to show you why not. And if you're not getting through with the Lord, ask for help. Talk to somebody. Pray about it. God is not silent unnecessarily. And so in verse 2, they say what they want to do. So they say, please let us go to the Jordan. Now here I'm going to apply it entirely on a spiritual level, all right? So the Lord wants us to move on with him. The Lord wants us to move to a broader place with him. Where are we going to find the materials for that? The answer is the Jordan. The Jordan. And that speaks in the Bible of death. It speaks in the Bible of death in many respects, but here I believe it's particularly teaching us, as we heard some of us at the weekend who were there, the need to die to self. The Lord Jesus said to us, if we're going to be his disciples, we need to take up our cross daily and follow him. There needs to be a willingness. The person who took up his cross was not pursuing a career. He was not out to live for himself, to party or whatever. He was out to go to a road. He was on the road where there was death. And he was basically saying, my life is no longer my own. That is how you grow. Is that willingness to die to self. Now you can't do it yourself. But all you can do is go to the Lord and say, Lord, I am willing for that. Lord, please lead me. You need to submit your desires to the Lord. That's part of this death. Be willing to submit your desire. Lord, I'd love to go here. I'd love to do this for you. But Lord, I'm going to submit it to you. Let the Lord deal with that desire. Change it if necessary. And let the Lord bring things about in his way and in his time. please let us go to the Jordan and let us from there take a beam. I may come back to that a little bit later on. The Jordan speaks of a place of death. It's certainly speaking of a place of cost. If we're going to come to a broader place with cost, with the Lord, there needs to be a willingness, of course, to bear the cost of that. Moving on. One of those sons of the prophets, it was only one, said, look at it, please be willing to go with your servant. Please be willing. There's something of insight here and maturity with this one person. You see, here is effective. The Lord's saying, yep, it's my will. You can go ahead and build something. And Elisha wouldn't have been there, of course. But one person understood, actually, if this new building was going to be worth anything, that Elisha had to be there. It's effectively saying, Lord, I don't want to do this on my own. Please come with me. Friends, we need to pray about these things. That's the kind of request we need to make of the Lord. Lord, please go with me. I don't want to do this on my own. I won't succeed on my own. And it was only one of those sons of the prophets that had the understanding that it was necessary not only to say to Elisha, the place where I'm living is not sufficient. Please let's go somewhere and build something else, but he had the gumph to say, I want you to come with us. So in verse 4 it says, he went with them, and when they came to the Jordan, they cut down the trees. What is this speaking about? I think this is speaking about a group of people, believers, if you like, who are engaged in effective life and ministry and service. And here they are, they're cutting down these trees, and they're getting on with life, and they're building this new place for them. And it may well be that for some of you, many of you, that is your testimony in your life. That you know that the Lord is with you, and you know that the things that you are doing for the Lord and with the Lord, he is blessing you, they are effective, and they are accomplishing all that God has ever intended for you to do and to have. And that's great. But look what happens. While they're doing this, somebody puts an axe to the tree, and the axe head comes off the axe. The bit of wood that's holding the axe. Do you know what I mean? Yes, you do. And so the sharp bit of it, the iron, goes into the Jordan and sinks and disappears. And all he's left with is a lump of wood. Imagine, it doesn't say this here, but imagine what would have happened if that one person had tried to go on in the same sort of way, cutting down trees, taking his bit of wood and cutting at this. I mean, it would look ridiculous, wouldn't it? And all he's succeeding in doing is making a little mark on the tree. And the tree effectively saying, you think you're going to cut me down with that? No way. And so it is utterly ineffective. Friends, what this is saying to us, what this addressing, is that something has gone missing. Something has been lost. The very means by which we can live our lives as God ever intended us to live, the very means by which our lives are going to be effective in a service for God and fulfill the purposes of God, the very means by which these things are happening are no longer there. Or if they're no longer there, they're severely weakened. This happened to one person. I think it's speaking about the things that any one of us could have lost and we assumed that we have. You see, this person, again, hypothetically, all right, speaking, could have thought, yeah, I've got my axe here, it's going fine. And he could have continued on with it. And he assumed that everything was going right as it was before. And he was unaware of the fact that the axe head had been lost. Now, that's not what happened, because this man is aware of it. But what I'm saying is, hypothetically, that could be what happened. And I'm going to suggest to you that actually, for some believers, that is precisely what's happening. Because we continue to live the Christian life, we continue to try and live our lives effectively, and we don't succeed, and we don't realise we've lost something. It's a tragedy. I think it's also speaking about the fact that we can think that we need something new. So this man, hypothetically, might think to himself, my axe head, my axe here, this is hopeless. It's not working at all. I need a new one. So by the Jordan, there is an axe shop. All right. And he goes along there and he buys a new axe. And so he thinks, actually, what is needed is something new. That is precisely the thinking of many believers. That we think, actually, what we've lost, we need something new. And so you go to all sorts of different organizations, methods, books, internet, or whatever, and you try and find the latest. You try and find something that is novel, something that maybe nobody's ever thought of before. I've got an axe that nobody's ever used before. It's marvelous. And you go and you try and cut down trees. Friends, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. What is needed is not something new. What is needed is recovery. The recovery of what has been lost. And God is not going to shortcut this. He's not going to give you something new when actually what he's saying is, I want to recover what's been lost. For some people, the enemy comes and convinces us that we've got something effective, sharp enough, if you like, and actually what he does is he gives us a counterfeit to replace it. Sometimes we can think our own resources are our own. Now, the thing about this particular axe, will you please notice, when this man comes to his senses and he realizes what's happened, he says, "Alas, my master, it was borrowed." Ah, he's saying, look, this cutting edge to my life is nothing I can do myself. It doesn't belong to me. It doesn't come from me. It belongs to somebody else. And the realization of that is key to actually getting the recovery of what's been lost. Because everything that you need for your life, as God intended you to live, does not come from you. It comes from God. It comes from the Lord. And what you have, if it is from the Lord, is only on loan. It's only on loan. But before we move on, it may be that I'm speaking to one or two people who've never had that axe head in the first place. What I mean is this. You see, essentially, what I'm speaking about is that you've had something lost. You've had something and it's been lost. But maybe I'm speaking to one or two for whom you've never had it in the first place. Never had it in the first place. And your life has never gone anywhere. You know that you are not living life as God intended you to live. You know that your relationship is non-existent. That you're building nothing. Effectively, you're saying, I don't know whether I know the Lord or not. How do I get this accent? How do I make my life effective? How do I begin to live as God intended me to live? Well, the answer to both those questions we're going to come to in a minute. And I think it's very much the same. So let's move on to see what happens in verse 6. Then the man of God said, where did it fall? The man of God said, where did it fall? So this is where it starts. If there is a realization that something is missing from our lives, something's got lost and we need to recover it, we call out to God and we say, Lord, alas, I've lost something. Don't just mope about it. Speak out to God about it. And the Lord asks this question effectively, where did you lose it? You need to go back to where something has been lost in the first place. And the Lord can show you, this can take a bit of time, I have to say, but sometimes years down the road, somebody realizes, I'm not what I should be. Somewhere along the line, I've lost something. I've let go of something that I had years ago. And you need to go before the Lord and take the time with him to go over your life as God shows you and seek to understand from God where it is that you went wrong. Where it is that that axe head got lost. But for some of you who've never had that axe head in the first place, for some of you who've, for whom you've never had a real relationship with God at all, I can tell you straight away, you've lost this because you never had it in the first place because of your sin. And you need to go to the Lord and get your sin dealt with. That is the cause of your problem. It's not that you're not intelligent enough. It's not that you're not strong enough. It's not that you haven't got the abilities. It's the fact that you haven't got a relationship with the Lord. You don't know that your sins are forgiven. You don't know that you're a child of God. That is the key to your problem. And the key to your living an effective life as God intended is to deal with the root of it. Where did it fall? Elisha asks. And the man shows him the place. Look at it. Look and see what happens. Now just take my word for it, please. When he showed him the place, he cut off a stick and threw it in there and made the iron float. So having identified where this axe head fell, he then cuts off a stick and throws it in. This is Elisha. He cuts off a stick and throws it in. What is that speaking to us about? Well, let me remind you of another incident with the children of Israel, and they come out of Egypt and they came to a place called Marah. Not Myra, but Marah. And Marah means bitter. And they came to this place, it was right in the middle of the desert, and they were desperate for water. And they went to the water and they began to drink it, and they thought, ooh, yuck, it's bitter. And so the people begin to moan and to complain, as we do if things don't go our way, and we don't like the situation that God has brought us to. Why does he bring us to it? It's so we may cry out to the Lord and know God's moving. And so the people begin to complain. Moses, on their behalf, calls out to the Lord and says, Lord, what am I going to do about this? The people are moaning at me like mad. And the Lord showed him a tree. And Moses cut down that tree and put it into the water. There was a tree on which the Son of God was crucified. Many centuries later, that tree, if you like, was cut down in order that the Son of God should be on that tree and bear your sin and bear my sin. He died on the tree that we might live to righteousness and no longer live for ourselves, it says. And the answer to everything is the cross. Get the cross applied to your bitter situation, and it will be dealt with. The waters will be healed. I think this man here, Elisha, understands a little bit more. It doesn't need a tree, it just needs a stick. And so he takes the stick. What's it say? It's saying exactly the same thing. Apply the cross. Recognize that you need to confess things to the Lord. Get right with the Lord, etc. And so Elisha cuts off the stick and he throws it into the water, and the miracle happens, which is then that which is lost now comes into view. It comes back to the surface. Not only that, my dear friends, but you have the opportunity to lay hold of that thing again. And look what happens. Elisha, I mean, the man could have thought, wow, what a miracle. And it was. I can get on building my building. I can carry on doing what I was doing before. Oh no. Elisha says, take it to yourself. And every one of you needs to do that. If you've never come to the Lord in the first place, you know that the Lord has died for you on the cross to bear your sin in order that you might be forgiven. It's not automatically going to happen. The miracle has happened. It's there, but you need to take it to yourself. It needs to become your own personal experience and possession. And you do that by turning from your sin and by committing your life to the Lord and asking him that he would make you his son and his daughter. That's what you need to do. Take it to yourself. If you've never done that, friend, do it today. If God is calling you and speaking to you, do it today. If you realize you've never had this accent, as it were, then do it today. Come after the meeting and we'll pray. And come and pray with you. It would be our pleasure to do so. But for others of you, you need to take that which you've lost back again. You lost it maybe years ago. Take it to yourself again. Reach out. This is forever the teaching of the scripture. For example, the armor of God in Ephesians 6. Take to yourself the armour of God, it says. I mean, the Lord is our helmet. The Lord is our salvation. The Lord is our truth. He's everything to us. But we need to take these things to ourselves. And it's the personal experience of doing these things and making them part of your experience and life that you need to do. Take it to yourself. Well, let's just begin to round a few things off. I hope that some of these things are clear to you. Some of you are in a narrow place, and the Lord wants to enlarge where you live, if you like. Would you please go to Psalm 18? This word narrow in verse 1, limited your version may have. It in the Hebrew, it the same word is translated as trouble, distress, or anguish. Psalm 18. I haven't given you the verse. Don't worry, I will give you the verse. I'm talking about 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 1, where it says the place where we're living is too narrow or restricted. All right, that word in the Hebrew is that means trouble or distress or anguish. And some of you may be in that kind of a place. Not just that it's too restricted, but you are in a place where there's real trouble and there's anguish and it's pressing in on your soul. That's the word you find in verse 19. David, it's verse 19. All right. He brought me forth into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. Sorry, that's not quite the right scripture I was looking for, but it's maybe the next one along, which is that actually the Lord is able to bring you into a larger place. He's able to bring you out of that anguish. He's able to bring you out of that restriction into a place where your steps, it says here in verse 36, you've enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. Now, friends, it's very often in the place of anguish and trouble that actually God does the enlarging. Psalm 4 and verse 1 reads like this. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have enlarged me when I was in distress. There is the word. And that's the scripture I did mean to look at first of all. You've enlarged me. When I'm in distress, it's the very restriction, it's the very distress that produces the discontent in you, that produces the cry from your heart, Lord, enlarge me. And Psalm 31 and verse 8. Psalm 31 and verse 8. You have not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. You have set my feet in a large room. Marvellous. Friends, this is what God is able to do. And this is what God is wanting to do. And friends, if this doesn't inspire that kind of godly discontent to say, Lord, I want to come into a larger place with you, I don't know what will. And so these prophets say the place where we're living is too limited, and they say, now, please, we want to go and build something. And they say, we want to go to the Jordan, and we're going to take a beam there, a rafter, a joist, a large bit of wood. Let me read to you what the essence of that word means in the original language of Hebrew. It means an encounter or a coming together. It means to frame or lay beams together for a house or gate, to make the beams meet together. It's a beam or roof where timbers meet and cross each other. It is, these beams are speaking about a place of encounter. They're speaking about a place of meeting. They're speaking about, amongst other things, one application anyway, is to do with relationships. Why? Because the place where God is wanting to dwell, I'm applying it more widely now, thinking of the temple. The place where God wants to dwell is among his people. And you and I are part of the building that God wants to build. in order that he may have a dwelling place. It's not just for the sake of the sons of the prophets, as it were. It's for the sake of God. It's so that he might find a place to dwell. And sometimes that is how the discontent can start, because you feel actually the Lord is not kind of settled here. I remember thinking about it years ago, just before we moved down to Guildford, and there was an unsettling in our hearts. Lord, the place where we are is too restrictive, because we want you to be here. That's the critical thing. These beams would have been of cedar. Cedar speaks of righteousness, Psalm 92 and verse 12. They speak of protection and defence. And the thing that is needed more than anything else for every one of us, and with this I will close, is iron. The axe head is made not of plastic, but of iron. And iron is what's needed for this building. Iron is what's needed for the work of God. Iron is what you need for your life. What does the iron represent? Iron represents strength. Daniel chapter 2 and verses 40 to 43. It's iron is the ability to break something and to bruise something, to have a real cutting edge, so that what you do is effective. The iron is needed if people are going to be raised up that God can use. God said to Jeremiah, I'm going to make you an iron pillar. Joseph was a man, it says, iron went into his soul. Iron is desperately needed. And it can only come from God. It's borrowed. Let me read to you as we conclude. Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Don't bother to find it, unless you'd like to. I will read it to you. Whoever removes stones, and that Ecclesiastes is a book of just observations on life, and actually it comes from a pretty unbelieving kind of, not unbelieving, what's the word? Agnostic kind of view. It's not a book that comes from a believer at this time. These are just observations on life. Whoever removes stones, but it comes from a wise man. Whoever removes stones is going to be hurt by it. He that cuts wood is going to be endangered by it. If the iron is blunt and he does not sharpen the edge, he needs to put more strength into it. Some of you, you've got an axe head, but your axe head ain't half blunt. Go to the Lord and get it sharpened. It's the word of God that will sharpen it. And then he finishes like this. But wisdom is profitable for giving success. Have you lost an axe head? Whatever you've lost, there is the possibility of recovery. Go to the Lord and get it recovered. Let's pray. Father, we just want to thank you for those times that you allow us to feel restricted, and that you allow even trouble and distress to come upon us to bring about a desire to come to a new place with you, a broader place. And Lord, I do want to ask you for anyone who's going through such difficulty or such a time, and there is something of that discontent, please bring us into that new place. Please bring us into that new place with you as a church. Please bring us into that new place with you as individuals who want to go on with you. Lord, I don't want to ask you for any who have never known you at all. Lord, would you lead them to the cross? And Father, we want to thank you that you sent your Son, not only to forgive us our sins, but so that whatever may be lost can also be recovered. and to give us a cutting edge to our lives that will make us effective and fulfill all your purposes. Lord, please hear our cry. See the desire of some anyway here today and respond to them. And go with us, we pray. Don't leave us on our own. Go with us and lead us. Amen.